Can you think of something besides just the gift of His Son, another gift that God has given us? Anything in the Scripture that would tell us about another gift? I'd like for us to take a look at a verse in Ephesians, the second chapter. Here's a gift. And we've been hearing some about it today even. Second chapter of Ephesians, and then the 8th verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. I like that verse. It kind of gives us some understanding about it. It's a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not anything that I could do to deserve it. It's a gift that is available to me. And yet, it's a gift that I don't have to receive if I don't. There's something I have to do to be able to receive it. It's by grace that we're saved. I was looking, I'd like for us to take a look at this subject tonight. And I'd like for you to be thinking of, because I think it is so important in the time that we're living in, when there are troubles all around us, and evil seems to be on the increase, that we would be able to have in our memory bank the scriptures of promises that God says, Jesus says, don't worry about the increase of it. I got something that grows right along with it, and it's called grace. You know, it would be good for me whenever I start hearing the news and reading the paper and all those things and seem like this world is falling apart, that all of a sudden that little verse would come to me. Where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. And so tonight I would like for us to take a look at what is available through this gift. I was looking at a couple of the definitions. One of them is, it's divine power from God. Divine power of God working in my life. Now that would be something. In a time where there are so many things that are beyond what I can understand. You remember the verse that says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it'll be given to him. It's available. I've just got to go ask for it. Divine power of God in the day and time that we're living in to help me with any problem that I face. Another definition was divine influence. Now, wouldn't that be something? As I'm going along and I'm making my choices about life, that there would be an influence working in my life to be able to say, when I would turn to the left hand or when I would turn to the right, there would be a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When I would make choices that would take me in the wrong direction. To be able to tap into this grace, there is something that we're going to have to remember. I'd like to look, remember it said, what does it say? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest someone would be able to say, I tell you what, I have lived a good enough life that I qualify for the grace to be given to me. There is a verse I'd like for us to look at over in Luke in the 18th chapter and starting in the 9th verse. It says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, would that class of people qualify to have this divine influence working in their life? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And it tells about the story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he trusted in himself that he was righteous and could see somebody else that is not on the same level as him. I'm thankful that I'm not like him. Well, for me to be able to receive this gift from God, there's some things that I'm going to have to remember. We have a song number in Psalm 105, verse, the 3rd verse. no righteousness of ours can ever avail. But it's through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood. All else will fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know, that's what I go to. It's nothing that I can do on my own. I want to always remember this, Ephesians 2nd chapter. By grace are you saved. It's not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. But it's available for all of us. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Apostle Paul had a testimony. 1 Corinthians 15 and the 10th verse. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And what a testimony that would have been if that Pharisee, when he stood up to pray, would have used this. You know what? It's God's grace that has given me the ability to be where I am. It was nothing in himself that he was able to say, I have been able to do this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now that's interesting. Is it possible that the grace that he has available for us can be in vain? It can be. If I don't apply for it and see my need for it. The power, the divine power of God working in my life, he won't force me to take it. You know, I can take any problem that I face today and I can try to work it out on my own. It can be problems with others. It could be problems on my job. And I say, you know what, I'm going to take care of this on my own. Or I can go to God and say, you know what, I understand that there is divine influence that you want to be able to have in my life. And I ask you to be able to put that in my life. The divine power of God working in my life. We can have it in 2020. It's available for us. And I want to be able to have it. There is, in John 15 and 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But what does it say? Without me, ye can do nothing. I need to be able to have that in my mind all the time. You know what? I'm not going to be able to do acceptable works before the Lord without his grace. There is a song that we sang. I think maybe we sang it this morning. Song number 510. What grace is able to do for us? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The grace of God working in my life, a divine influence. That's what he wants to do for every one of us. But I was thinking of faith. How much does it have to do with grace? I was looking over in Hebrews 11 and the 6th verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I need to have faith to believe that he has grace for me in any trial, any situation that I face. You know, do you believe he has grace for us to go through a political year? Sure does. If he had grace for Daniel to go through a lifetime of being a slave, and Daniel go through it with the attitude he had, you know what? He tapped into some grace. He had something more than what a man can normally do. How could you, after being in the lion's den and the king come the next morning and ask, are you still alive? What would your reaction be without grace? You would say something different than he said. But what he said was, oh, king, live forever. You know, his was, we're dealing with different levels here. God takes care of my life. He sends things into it. He sent this in yesterday when they saw me praying and threw me in the lion's den. This is not related to you, O king. I have respect for you. Wow, that is amazing. The first place that we find in the scripture where the word grace is used. You remember where we would find that? The first time I saw it was Noah. It said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder how Noah was living in that time. It tells us in Genesis 6, the condition of the world around him wasn't very favorable for living for God. Let's look at that in Genesis 6 chapter. Looked like God was about ready to destroy the earth. He says, 5th verse, 6th chapter, Genesis. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he made man, and it grieved him at his heart. And then the 8th verse, and he planned to destroy it. But in the 8th verse, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I believe it is possible for us today to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Be able to tap this supply that when everything else is drying up around us, no matter how bad the world is getting, you remember where it talked about he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He won't see when a drought comes because he's got a tap root that goes over into the river and is drawing in. We can have that same thing. There will be grace available for us. But I was thinking there's a key to access grace. Without that key, we're not going to be able to do it. I'd like to look at it in James. In James in the 4th chapter, it's really kind of the same thing that the Pharisee had a problem with. 4 and 6, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Now, if I want to be able to tap into this source of grace, divine power, divine influence in my life, what I need to realize is God resists the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. It says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He giveth more grace. Whenever I need more in my life, whenever he doesn't give me more than I need, but he is able to meet the need that I have at any time. Another one was 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 5th verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. So this grace is tied into humility. Maybe part of it is how much I realize I need the Lord and his divine power in my life. Be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. So if I need more grace, let me humble myself before the Lord. In fact, let me just live a life of humility before him, realizing how much I need him. There was another verse I want us to look at, because there's some things that grace wants to teach us. In Titus, the 2nd chapter, and in the 11th verse, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God wants to teach us some things. A divine influence in my life of how I should live my life. denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then the 13th verse is the end of what I'm working for. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want grace to be able to work in my life, be able to teach me some things. It wants to teach me how to live godly in this present world. A divine influence in my life to be able to give me instruction. There is another verse in Colossians, the 4th chapter. Because I'd like for us to be able to recognize how many verses, how many promises there are in the Bible that this gift is available for us. This says in 4 and 6 of Colossians, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. To be able to have grace to answer someone that maybe is coming against us, let your speech be with grace. What is grace? God's divine influence in my life, his power for us. There is another verse in 2 Peter 3 and 18. Do we get it all at one time? Does it just, okay, all that you will ever need of grace you will get when you get saved? 18th verse of 2 Peter 3, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So that growing in grace, kind of like in our Sunday school lesson this morning, of us spending time with the Lord, getting to know him better, him speaking to us, us having a connection with him, that this divine influence would work freely from him to us to be able to guide us in our life. All his grace, this is a song, is as free as the air we breathe, we may each have a full supply. This is song number 58. But there's a condition to it. If we will obey, and his word believe, he will prepare us to dwell on high. So it's not something that, well, can I get to a place, live holy enough that he will supply grace for me? No, it's available. But here's what I've got to do. If we will obey, and his word believe, all his grace will be just as free as the air we breathe. I can have all the grace that I need in my life. So there's a verse in Hebrews. Tells us there's not a limit to it. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, what was the condition for us to be able to have grace? It's got to have some humility. How can you have humility and come boldly to the throne of grace? That boldly is recognizing he's the source of it. And he desired to give it to me as a gift. I can be humbly coming to him and boldly recognizing here's where it is. I'm going to remember the woman that went to the unjust judge, and at first he didn't answer. It was kind of like Jesus testing the woman when she desired that her daughter be healed. And he even went to the point where we don't cast our bread to the dogs. And she wasn't going to be turned aside. And so I think with humility, I can recognize here's my source of divine influence that I need in my life. And I am going to come to the source. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We're all going to come to a place where we need grace in our life. Grace to be able to help us make the right decisions. Grace to be able to help us when I made the wrong decision to turn around and come back again. There is another verse. Because, you know, I believe that the world seems a lot more wicked today that when I was in grade school, I remember when in school we used to, the teacher would regularly talk to us. Well, we'd have prayer in the classroom before the classroom started that morning. She would read to us out of the Bible. A lot of things have changed, but I was looking at this promise about grace. It's over in Romans. When we start feeling like things are going to fall apart and sin is getting the upper hand, let's remember this one. 5th chapter and in the 20th verse. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, is this saying in my life, the more I sin, the more there means there's grace for it? No. Where this thing gets worse and worse, because it goes on down here, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Is what he's saying there, is it okay, I can keep on sinning more and more and there'll be more grace abounding for it? No. What it's saying, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The way I'd like to see this, where sin abounds, when it's all around me, in the world around me, and it seems like it's pressing hard against me, grace, it will always stay ahead of it. Grace will much more abound. Remember Paul, when he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times that that thorn would be removed. The answer that he got from the Lord in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 is, my grace is sufficient for you. In this condition, with nothing changing, I've got divine influence. I've got divine power for your life to be able to take you through with it. Now, as I looked at that, Paul has to make a decision when he has walked with the Lord and he has something that he wants the Lord to change in his life, and the Lord lets him know by this, that won't change, but I've got grace for you to be able to go through it. You know, Paul could have become bitter. He could have let that be a turning point in his life. We can, when we come up against something that we would like for it to go one way and it doesn't. But there is a verse that I want us to take a look at. Hebrews 12 and 15. Because this verse, I often don't think about the first part of it much, because usually what we will say is, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. But look at what the first part of that verse says. And as I think about Paul and the things that he was going through, he comes up against what he will make a decision on. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. What was the answer given to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. But you know what? If Paul didn't accept that, it wouldn't have been enough to carry him through. Looking diligently, lest a man fail of the grace of God, that Paul could have failed of the grace of God that would take him through not having his prayers answered the way he wanted. And then it goes on down, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. While grace is available, divine influence is available in my life, I can allow a root of bitterness to spring up and be defiled and fail of the grace of God. Yes. There's another verse in Galatians 2 and 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Yes. I do not make it void where it has no power in my life. You know what? I have the ability. When he says that he's got grace, it's a gift for us from him, I can have it to where it is void in my life. There's a song in number 172. Be an overcomer, forward, boldly go. You are strong enough if you count it so. Strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace. Not about just, okay, I'm going to just tighten up. I'll be able to make it through this problem. No. Strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace, grace that will go with me all the way through the battle. and to overcome every foe you face. Strong enough. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But you know, Paul, I believe, understood that. But then he added something else. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is where the grace will come for me. So for us today, here's another verse, and this is what we want to have happen in our life. Psalm 172, be an overcomer. You are heaven's heir, and a crown of life you may ever wear. So with courage, press the battle to the gates till you gain the prize which in heaven waits. And it's not about me doing it by myself. It's about me applying. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Humbly, I realize my need. Boldly, Lord, you said you've got it. It's a free gift for me, and I will apply for it. Does it mean all my prayers will be answered then the way I want them? No, Paul's wasn't. But he said, I've got grace that's sufficient for you through anything that you go through. Was it sufficient for Paul? Sure was. I like how his testimony ended up in 2 Timothy. I'd like to be able to have a testimony like this one. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2, and I might be in the wrong place. I thought it was 2 Timothy 2 and 6, where it says, I am now ready to be offered. If someone could find that for me. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Finished my course. 4 and 6. Thank you. 2 Timothy 4 and 6. Here's his testimony. Was he able to avail of the grace of God? I believe he was. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And that comes right on down to us tonight. He is able, by his grace, to take us all the way through. On the song number 510, there's another verse that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, not in my own power, lest any man should boast. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's going to be grace that will lead me home. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Whenever I see a place, and when I don't see a place, that I'm in need of grace from him, there's sometimes when I feel like I can make it on my own. But Lord, help me to run to this source of divine influence to direct me in my life. I'd like to close with another song. Number 135 is a testimony. And this one even adds a little bit more to grace of God. He says, by the living grace of God. That means it's alive and acting. It's not something that's dead. This is quite a testimony. By the living grace of God, I'm going to labor, watch, and pray till this mortal life shall end in supernal day. By the living grace of God. You know, it seems like throughout this person is always saying, I recognize my need of the grace of God in my life. By the living grace of God, I'll defy the tempting throne. High above the battle's din, I'll shout the victor's song. By the living grace of God, I will never doubt my Lord. Till my eyes are closed in death, I'll believe his word. By the living grace of God, I will conquer though I die. The reward will come at last in my home on high. Work on, toil on, till my work on earth is done. By the living grace of God, I will labor on. That can be my testimony tonight. by the living grace of God, I'm going to just go all the way through and make it into heaven. And then I look at who wrote it. That was D.O. Teasley's testimony. By the living grace of God. You know what? His grace is still alive today. It's available for me. But you remember the verses that say, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the divine influence. Whatever caused D.O. Teasley to fall, there was a divine influence that could have guided him around that. There was a divine influence that could have. When I look at the difference between King David and his son, King Solomon, David sinned and Solomon sinned. David repented, prayed the prayer of repentance that we get to read. His father, we find no prayer of repentance. This song, this testimony, by the living grace of God, I'm going to make it all the way through to heaven. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not make it void in my life. The grace of God will take us all the way through if we will let it. But you know what? At any time, I can make it void in my life. It's a gift from God. But it says there's some things that I need to be able to do. I need to humble myself before Him to be able to have it working in my life. You know, folks, we're headed, we heard about this morning, we're in a race. We're headed to eternity, not knowing how long it is until we step over there. I'm going to need God's grace in my life to be able to influence me in my decisions, because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We need God to be able to direct us, to be able to make heaven our home. I desire your prayers that I will allow His grace to work. It'd be His grace, His power that would work in my life to show me places that I need to make adjustments. I desire your prayers.